This is Sea Change Radio, covering the shift to sustainability. I'm Alex Wise.
The waste footprint from that is actually pretty massive, just so you can have a little clamshell to carry your strawberries home in. And how long do you use that?
The average U.S. resident heads out to the grocery store 1.5 times a week, and over the course of a year, uses well over 1,000 plastic shopping bags there. Bags which, on average, are used for a mere 15 minutes, but will stick around on the earth for hundreds of years. This week's guest on Sea Change Radio, Catherine Holmesy, is fed up with the status quo and has changed her food shopping habits to better reflect her values. She gives us insight into the plastic habit of food retailers, talks about what to do about it, and tells us of her particular annoyance with Trader Joe's, the popular grocer that was once her favorite. I'm joined now on Sea Change Radio by my friend Catherine Holmesy. She is an organizational consultant with a focus on reducing waste. Catherine, welcome to Sea Change Radio.
Thanks, Alex.
So why don't you first talk about some of the work you do in terms of decluttering people's lives with a focus on sustainability?
Sure. I started doing organizing consultancy just out of my interest in zero waste a few years back. Bea Johnson, the mother of the zero waste movement, became really well known for her website and a book called Zero Waste Home. She took a concept that was previously used in industry, which basically meant a closed loop manufacturing cycle with no waste, kind of a cradle to cradle concept, and she took it into the home and began to develop ways to reduce waste and consumption to the point that her family of four only produced a quart of garbage a year. And I thought, I was doing a really good job. I recycled, quote unquote, everything, just like you should. I separated my recycling. I put my compost in the compost. I didn't buy something if it didn't have that little recycling arrow on it.
But of course, that quart of waste that she would be producing a year is also a tip of the cap to the local waste management facilities or the organization that's in place in terms of waste management. There's a lot of cities that wouldn't allow curbside recycling or composting, right?
That's true. We're really fortunate in San Francisco to have a Recology following San Francisco's goal of zero waste and doing everything to facilitate our moving in that direction. That being said, there's no way to do it by recycling alone. There's absolutely no way. There's all this plastic, all these containers, they are not really recyclable. And that's something I learned after learning more about zero waste. You can put everything in that recycling bin, but plastic is so contaminated with chemicals, with being melted down with other things that aren't the same type of plastic. It becomes so very contaminated. At most, it can be recycled maybe four or so times. After that, it's really not recyclable. And what happens is either it goes into the landfill or it can be upcycled or, you know, made into a park bench or something that, when that is finished with its life, will be thrown into the landfill. So after learning that what I thought was a wonderful system that I was so lucky to plug into, allowing me to quote-unquote recycle everything, that everything wasn't actually recyclable, the zero waste movement taught me that the only thing to do, if I really cared about reducing waste and this waste problem that we are seeing more and more, is to reduce consumption.
Yes, and still, a quart, no matter how good your waste management system is, a quart a year is pretty heroic.
That's not typical. My family is not there yet, despite our best efforts. We're not at that level.
That takes some serious vigilance, huh?
Absolutely, and she used that to show what was possible. I would say that's, you know, definitely the pie in the sky gold standard. It's possible. It's doable. If you have access to a good system, if you have access to good grocery options where you can buy things unpackaged, where you can go to farmers markets, where you have the time and money to be able to seek these options out, where you can have a good secondhand market where you want to buy clothes instead of buying them new, where you have a good secondhand market for really anything. If you aren't in an area with those, yeah, it's going to be much harder.
If you can invest in longer term solutions like a nice cloth bag, you go to the developing world, you'll see everybody has those little plastic vinyl bags, right? Mm-hmm. That's just standard. Mm-hmm. People haven't necessarily spent the dollar or two to get these permanent bags when they can get these for free.
Right. And I absolutely recognize that, you know, for example, let's take the famous glass jars that everybody uses. You can reuse a glass jar that you get from the grocery store, and there's no problem with that. There are a lot of people who decide they want it to be perfect and have all the matching jars with the clasp lids that are like $6 or $7 a jar. And that's lovely and all, but that's not doable for most people to have a huge collection of these beautiful matching jars. And it's not necessary either. But I think regardless of your means or your access, if you have the knowledge that this is a problem, there are little things that you can do. You can use things over and over again instead of using them once and throwing them out. You can make small choices if it doesn't impact you financially too badly, like choosing something in a glass jar rather than in a plastic container. You can use reusable grocery shopping bags, or you can use your paper or plastic ones over and over until they're not usable anymore. There are things everyone can do. There is that gold standard of a quart of garbage a year, but that's not the baseline.
And you mentioned how plastic waste, just because it's out of sight and out of mind, doesn't necessarily mean it's out of our waste stream.
Right.
So you've been a thorn in the side to one of the more popular grocery chains in America, Trader Joe's, which has a pretty sterling reputation in terms of the way it treats its employees and the quality of their food. But why don't you explain your problem with Trader Joe's? I hadn't really thought of it, and I'm glad to have this conversation with you.
Well, first of all, I did used to go to Trader Joe's every week. It was part of my routine. I'd stop by Trader Joe's. The kids would search around the store for the alligator to see if they could win a lollipop. It's a good grocery store. They have good quality food. They have a good selection of organic products, of natural products, without a lot of preservatives and additives. So they're a pretty good option if you want to strive for a healthier version of a grocery store. So I used to go once a week. I took the kids. We would do our shopping. And I always was a little bummed about the produce situation. Even when I was shopping there weekly, I couldn't buy salad, you know, out of the bin, buy a whole head of lettuce. I had to buy a bag of salad. And even before I really was an anti-plastic crusader, if you will, I didn't like that. I didn't really like that. That felt so wasteful to me, having a stack of plastic bags if I wanted a large amount of salad, for example, or not being able to pick out which apples I want or which avocados I wanted. They were all bagged together. And usually about half of them weren't really great, but you know, you get what you get. You grab the bag of them and there you are. So I shopped there regardless, but I collected all my plastic bags and I returned them to the store for recycling. I put all the clamshell packages in the bin, and then I learned how really poorly recyclable plastic is and how hard it is to recycle it and how most of it really doesn't get recycled regardless of which bin you put it in. So that is when I started buying fewer things at Trader Joe's and searching for more options. And then I basically, over the course of a month or so, weaned myself completely off of Trader Joe's, found other options elsewhere, and never went back again.
So let's break down the pros and cons of why
Trader Joe's uses a lot of plastic in their produce and a
lot,
all their products, really. First of all, are there some stores that are doing it better that you can identify? Big chains.
Big chains. There are some stores that are doing it better, although it's a problem at every store. But there are some stores where it's easier to avoid. Whole Foods still is got a good selection of produce that you can choose. You know, they have a big selection of apples, and you can put them straight into your cart or put them in your own bag or however you choose to buy them.
Yes, that's the problem. Like, Trader Joe's will have a decent amount of loose produce out there, but then there's things that you wouldn't expect that needed to be in plastic, like broccoli and zucchini and carrots. Things that are that last pretty well without plastic are in clamshells or bags and film. Have you contacted the store to try to find out why they do this?
I've looked into it a bit. I haven't emailed back and forth with them. I did, way back when, send them an email to let them know that I was sorry to say I wasn't going to shop there anymore because of the packaging. If they decided to change that, I'd be happy to come back.
That wasn't enough to make them change.
No, strangely, shockingly, they didn't change because of me.
But there are enough. If there are enough people out there, I mean, you have friends at the Plastic Pollution Coalition who are organized a little bit more to try to make changes within an organization like Trader Joe's, right?
Absolutely. And that's actually what it comes down to, is everyone says, oh, it doesn't matter what I do personally on a personal level. It won't make a difference. Well, sure, said 7 billion people. When you add it up, it does make a difference. If enough people stop shopping and buying that way, we vote with our dollar. That's the strongest vote we have sometimes, is our dollar. We can decide to participate in that or we can't. And again, I will say there are people who don't have access to different stores by virtue of like where they live or their budget or whatever. But the people who do have the access and the knowledge can make that decision.
Is it more effective to stop shopping there or to keep shopping and to actively engage your favorite store and the people who work there every time you go there?
I don't think the people who work there have that much power in the packaging because that's all done centrally. But you're still buying it, is the thing. So you're still buying that clamshell full of zucchini and they're still making money off of it. So where's their motivation to stop if you are still buying it?
And have you gotten a response from Trader Joe's or what are their public statements regarding their use of all of this plastic?
So they say on their website that it keeps it sanitary. It makes it easier to ship because it's in packaging. So it basically makes it easier to pack to ship. It makes it easier to transport and it makes it easier to put it on the shelves when you're grabbing, let's say, a bag full of apples and putting it there rather than stacking the apples nicely so they don't fall, I suppose.
And that's one of the arguments of the bottled water industry, is like, we use plastic bottles rather than glass because it saves us X amount in shipping costs and our carbon footprint is X amount lower because of we're saving fuel on moving all of our bottles around in plastic form rather than in glass. They may not brag about that, but that must be one of the reasons that they have for putting so many products in plastic.
It's lightweight and it's super cheap. Plastic is really, really inexpensive. But that's because we're not paying the real cost of plastic yet. We're not paying for that. We're paying the cost of oil, because plastic is made from oil. So we're paying the cost of plastic is what it, and the cost that it is to produce it. We're not paying for the life cycle of it. But people are going to pay for that one way or another, whether it comes to pollution. And the poorer countries and people in poorer areas pay that price much sooner than people in more wealthy areas. We don't walk out to the river and see a sea of plastic in the river, but in poor areas, they do see that.
And I would imagine that's one of the talking points that a Trader Joe's might have over a Whole Foods, because Whole Foods is not targeting a demographic that is as cost conscious as Trader Joe's customers. And they say, we are able to offer our customers the lowest prices and the highest quality because we've taken into account the plastic thing, but we think it's worth it because there are people who can afford to buy our products now. You know, people who wouldn't necessarily be able to buy arugula can now buy it.
Because we're keeping the costs down. Well, they do talk a bit about that, a little tiny, I think, about that. I do personally, and this is not based on anything I've read on their website, but if you buy, if you look at the food waste that grocery stores go through when people pick and choose the best things and leave the things that aren't so great behind, well, you don't have that at Trader Joe's. You buy the bag of apples, you buy the bag of avocados, you buy the container of strawberries.
More than you might want to buy.
More than you might want to buy. And I unfortunately did many, many times have the experience that I would buy the bag of avocados, for example, and two of them would be good and two or three of them would be bad. So they didn't have to throw away that avocado and lose that. I still paid for the avocado. I still took it home. I still ended up throwing away the avocado. So while it saves them the cost of that food waste of me rejecting the bad avocado, that food is still wasted.
Right. That's the important thing. So they can say, well, we've reduced our food waste by 45%, but that food still may be getting wasted if a consumer is throwing it away. On the flip side, you have a bigger chain, like a Safeway, that also is trying to reduce food waste. They have a different calculus in how they fill their produce bins and how they perceive waste. Maybe you can contrast that and which method do you think is less wasteful ultimately? Doesn't have to be Safeway specifically, but the flip side of what Trader Joe's is
okay.
doing.
Well, I did used to work at the food bank for a number of years doing fundraising, and companies like Safeway and Whole Foods did participate in a program where they donated the produce that was almost on the way out or had it was a little past to the food bank, and the food bank would go around and pick it up. So that reduced the food waste in that the food that was still edible, we would donate to our clients, and the food that was not edible went to a pig farm, actually. So that's one way to reduce the food waste, and they get to write it off as a donation.
Anybody who has a pet who's asked a butcher for scraps or things like that, I've noticed that the Safeways and the Trader Joe's of the world do not just give those away like they used to 20 years ago. They have a supply chain for it.
Interesting. I didn't know that. But I've also learned that there are grocery stores who won't release that stuff because of liability purposes too. So they're afraid that they'll get sued if you take their day-old whatever or their scrap whatever and get sick from it. I don't know how much you've seen about the food waste issue, but there are some interesting documentaries about people who buy no food at all, who dumpster dive behind grocery stores and save lots and lots of food, but these grocery stores have security guards to keep them from doing it. They'll lock the dumpsters. They don't want people to eat the food, and often the food isn't even expired yet.
Yes, we had, I forget his name, but we had an author who did a piece on food waste, and he was talking about doing that for a month or two, eating dumpster dived food. I don't know the correct grammar there, but he noted that America wastes enough food to fill up the Rose Bowl every day.
It's pretty shocking. Yeah, and a lot of that is because all these this processed food, you know, it's subsidized and it's cheap and it's almost disposable. You know, we don't, I'm not necessarily advocating for food to be more expensive because for some people it's already too expensive. But that being said, we don't really value our food. We buy a bunch of food, and at the end of the week, if we haven't eaten it, too many people just throw it away. Mm-hmm. We don't do our best to try to use it because we don't pay for it in a way that makes it seem like it's a valuable commodity.
Give me your funny.
This is Alex Wise on Sea Change Radio. I'm talking to Catherine Holmesy. She's an organizational consultant who focuses on reducing waste. So, Catherine, getting back to the traditional model that a Safeway or a Kroger might have versus the Trader Joe's model. So Trader Joe's might say, well, you know, at least we're not throwing away as much produce as the Safeways of the world. But Safeway might have deeper pockets or better supply chains to be able to handle that waste, as opposed to Trader Joe's, which we think, just without having data, that they're actually passing a lot of that waste on to consumers.
That was my personal experience shopping at Trader Joe's, that I ended up throwing away too much produce because what part of what came in the bag or the clamshell had gone bad already.
I find that I often let it go bad because I buy more than I actually need.
Because we buy more than we need. Yeah, that's a problem I think all of us run into sometimes.
And these hypermarkets like the Costco's that sell these massive amounts. Yeah. If you're a family of three or four, good luck trying to use all the food that you end up buying because it seems like a good deal.
Well, exactly. Yeah, it's not really a good deal if you end up throwing half of it away, is it?
And then the plastic waste.
Yeah.
So you're actually not only wasting the food, you're also using plastic that was unnecessary to begin with.
Exactly. So the plastic's unnecessary. It's cheap. We don't pay the full price of it. And by the way, the full price of plastic is also not just the disposal end.
The externalities of it are massive.
Producing it, drilling for the oil. You know, the oil spills that come out of that, the manufacturing of it, the pollution from the manufacturing, the water pollution, the air pollution, the waste that comes from that manufacturing. And then you get the plastic product. It's packaged in one place. It's shipped all over the place to these distributors. So you have the shipping waste and pollution that comes from that. But the waste footprint from that is actually pretty massive, just so you can have a little clamshell to carry your strawberries home in. And how long do you use that? I think, what was the number of minutes that a plastic bag is used is about 15 minutes before it's thrown away. Mm-hmm. I mean, that's a pretty massive amount of waste for 15 minutes of use carrying something from the store to your home.
Yes. And all those clamshell things are essentially single-use plastic, too. We don't think of them because they look more permanent.
They're absolutely single-use. Their purpose is to encase a product, get it to your home, and then be thrown away. So it's on us. We have to, we have to stop producing it is what it comes down to. And we have gotten into this habit that we go to the grocery store and we want to buy some grapes and we expect them to provide us something to carry those grapes home in, and they will give us the cheapest thing that we can use, and that's plastic.
We also expect them to be perfect, right? Yes. And we expect to get red seedless grapes in January in Minnesota. So there's also the bar has risen in terms of consumer demands and expectations.
Yeah, that is a vicious cycle, isn't it? It's that expectation has been set by the industry, if you will, and we have bought into it, and now we absolutely expect it. When you go to a hotel breakfast in January and you get cantaloupe, you know, honeydew melon and strawberries and blueberries, those are middle of summer fruit. How are that we get, and they have no flavor, by the way, in January, but you still get a plate of them because that's what they have been trained that we expect, and that's what they're going to give us, and regardless of the quality and regardless of whether it's appropriate.
I remember being in the early 90s in Japan, being miffed that some of my favorite foods were only seasonal. My first few months there, I was really in love with these, the steamed buns, and they'd have mead and sweet bean paste and all these other ones in them. And then mid-March came around, all those little steam ovens that were by the cashier had disappeared, and I found out that this was just a winter food. And I was like, what's a winter food? I was apoplectic over this. This was my favorite little snack. And the Japanese actually apply that to almost everything with their cuisine, whether it be regional or seasonal. They like to kind of, it gives more value to these udon noodles, which are famous in Nagano in the winter, or these cold soba noodles, which are representative of Kansai in the summer, whatever. Mm-hmm. So if we can find the beauty in that seasonality again, that would be really great.
I'm all for it. Like right now is just the closing end of persimmon season here in California, right? So as soon as I watch the stores starting in fall for the persimmons, as soon as they come in, I buy as much as I can eat, and I eat at least one a day during the season, and I'm noticing they're changing the quality. The skins are getting thicker and they're getting softer. So I know the season's about to end, but you know what? I appreciate every single day of that persimmon season because I know it won't come again till next year. And I think, yeah, it'd be great to have persimmons all the time, but maybe they wouldn't be as special that way, and maybe we can get back to thinking that way.
So beyond just bringing your own bags and making some smarter decisions about where you shop, maybe you can give some inside hints to listeners who are interested in making a more positive impact for 2019.
Yeah, absolutely.
In terms of being a smarter food shopper.
A smarter food shopper. Definitely bring your own grocery bags. Make sure that you keep grocery, if wherever you're going to remember it, whether it's in the trunk of your car, whether it's on your door handle before you leave the house, or a little pouch in your office desk, just make sure you have a reusable bag available that you can use so you don't have to scramble for it. Buy more produce that's unpackaged. And when you buy it unpackaged, don't put it in a plastic bag if it doesn't really need it. You know, if it's not if it's not going to get damaged, there's no reason to put it in a bag. It's absolutely not necessary. Consider bringing your own produce bags if you're up for that. You can reuse old plastic bags as many times as you can, your old produce bags. I buy fabric bags. So you can bring your own produce bags as well as shopping bags. Think about your choice for a minute and don't be afraid to go without something if you feel like it's a bad choice. If you see something that then there's an option to buy it in glass, get it in glass instead of plastic. If there aren't any options that look good, if all the grapes are in a clamshell, maybe just don't get grapes that time. Get something else. Get something unpackaged. Be willing to be flexible about what you're buying. And seek out those stores that are in your area that really support buying in bulk. So just look, be creative, and look at the resources that are already out there. Zero Waste Home website is amazing. Plastic Free Life is amazing. Those are both local people who are pioneers in the area. Be open to different ideas and just be conscious of it.
Catherine Holmesy, thanks so much for being my guest on Sea Change Radio.
Thanks so much, Alex. It was good to be here.
Sway the future to the past and find what will endure.
You've been listening to Sea Change Radio. Our intro music is by Sanford Lewis, and our outro music is by Alex Wise. Additional music by Stevie Wonder and the Beatles. Check out our website at seachangeradio.com. That's seachangeradio.com to stream or download the show or subscribe to our podcast. Visit our archives there to hear from Bill McKibben, Van Jones, Paul Hawken, and many others. And tune in to Sea Change Radio next week as we continue making connections for sustainability. For Sea Change Radio, I'm Alex Wise.